This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May the 7th, episode 908. This episode is brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
The day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. Jamie will be with us in just a couple of minutes. She is trying to get the baby put back to sleep. When we did our pre-show meeting, baby Luke was quite loud, but I think she was trying to get him back to sleep. Matter of fact, here she is. Good morning, Jamie.
I'm back. Oh, my gosh. That baby's exhausting. Sorry, you guys.
It's okay. It's okay.
You know, it's like he can hear my alarm clock go off, you know, and he's like, oh, it's time for all of us to get up. No, it's not.
I saw your post on Facebook yesterday. It sounds like you're irritated with the baby anyway. So,
can you believe that? Jennifer,
he's learned
Dada, I have said mama to this child 10 million times. Mama, 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 mama. And the three freaking words he says dada, he says the dog's name, and he says kitty kitty now officially as of last night. Like, where do I rank in this?
Well,
seriously?
See, the thing is, he doesn't have to learn your name because if he cries, you come running.
That's my name.
That is your name.
Yeah.
Your name is...
And your name is...
Yeah, he wins.
Hey, I want to warn everybody that we had a new critter move into the farm yesterday, or 2 days ago, actually. So if you hear what sounds like a very loud bird outside the studio here, it's because it is. We had a peacock that has shown up and has made his home. He has made his home around our farm, and yesterday he was right outside my window, and peacocks are loud. I mean, really loud. And he decided to do his chirping, squawking, whatever you call it, that peacocks do, right outside my window. The dog jumped up in the air, scared the crap out of me. And so if you hear that during the show today, that would be our new resident peacock who has decided that our farm is now the approved one. So.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Those are as loud, if not louder, than guinea fowl, which my neighbors have, and they just squawk constantly. And don't underestimate the power of a peacock to spook the hell out of your horse when all of a sudden they go, and their feathers come out. Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, the neighbor horse was just, this neighbor horse doesn't run. He's a quarter horse, and he's fat, and he doesn't move much. As a matter of fact, I hardly ever see him move at all. And yesterday, he was running around the paddock and come up the fence and snorting. I finally figured out the peacock was in the tree beside his field. And he was not having any parts of that peacock being in the tree. So, yeah, he's pretty. We took a picture of him yesterday outside my window.
Well, they're pretty. So... I feel like did I miss anything while I was gone?
Nope,
to start
we just
a show
started
and...
the show. Yeah, we just started.
Okay.
So we're going to Jennifer to find out exactly what is coming up on today's show.
Oh, good. I need to pay
attention. What is coming up on today's show, Jennifer? On
Jennifer
today's Back on Track Wednesday.
Wednesday edition. It's an all-out chat fest for the first 30 minutes. Glenn and Jamie are going to freestyle it on a Wednesday. And then we're going to head across the pond for the latest from Horse and Country TV. And then topping the hill on Hump Day, the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge welcomes the walking Wikipedia of horse driving and coaching, David Saunders. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. I just wanted to say to everybody, if you haven't had a chance to go to our Facebook page, there's two videos that you must watch that I posted up there this morning. One was of a draft horse team, and you have to watch the draft horse team driving along, and you just have to watch. You have to watch it because there's a surprise at the end. And Jamie, I expect that baby Luke will be doing this in another couple months, apparently. So,
okay.
You're going to have to watch that video. And then I posted a second video. I'm so excited to have David Saunders come on the show today and play the trivia challenge with us. He's going to class up the place quite a bit. That's one thing. And then I posted a video of Winterthur's point-to-point carriage parade, which they just had, I think, last weekend in Pennsylvania. And this will give you an idea of what a coachman does. It's an amazing. They had maybe 10 different coaches go by with four in hands and ponies and horses, and just listen to the sound of the clippity clops go by is the coolest thing. But that'll give you an idea of what our guest today does. Love having David on. He's the one that helped me drive the four in hand there last month at Gloria Austin's place. Neat guy, and it should be a lot of fun. And our player. You're going to know the name is Robin Donaghy. Remember we had her on because the police told her to get off the roads with her carriage?
That's right. We need an update.
Yes, we're going to have to get an update on that. So we have two drivers playing each other today. And
perfect.
Robin's a little nervous. She said to me in a post yesterday, she said you got like one of the most famous coachmen in the world, and I have to play him. So she's a little nervous.
I understand.
He only drove for the Queen for about 20 years. So daily winning time. My daily Winnie goes out to another one of our listeners by the name of Jody on the birth of her mini foal last night. They are so darn cute. And this one's unusual. Mini foals are so tiny to begin with. And this one is the most unusual color. It kind of has like a white back leg. It's a very unusual color. So I don't know if it's going to stay that way.
I thought it looked like a cast. I thought.
It's not a cast? No, it's the color of the leg.
Oh, my gosh. So, I'm like, poor little thing must have been crooked. They got a cast on it already. You're right. That's the color of its leg. And it goes up past, like, its stifle all the way down. I've never seen that. And it's a buckskin.
I have never seen it either. I might have to get Jody on to talk to us about it. She talked a lot in her post about the color and the white and all that stuff. So maybe she could explain it to us, because I have never seen a whole leg up into the butt white like that. Very unusual. But congratulations, Jody. Good job. Mini babies are always cute. Doesn't matter. They're just cute.
Yep.
Need a mini.
Well, my Daily Winnie, Jennifer's going to post the pic on Facebook, because my Daily Winnie goes out to Deputy Trombie. As you guys know, Deputy Trombie has been on our show. She is the one that is in charge of the MASH horses, and she is the person that when you call and you say, hey, somebody's starving these horses, she goes out to that farm and investigates. She's this awesome chick with a big gun, and she's really an impressive woman. Well, she came over the other day and said, you just have to. And my husband has already told me that Marie and I cannot be friends, because bad things happen when Marie and I are friends.
And horses I had to end call, up showing up.
I had to call my husband last night, and I said, you know how every time you leave town, I end up getting another animal? But usually every time it's been a chicken. And he's like, oh, my God, you get more chickens? I was like, oh, well, not really. A chicken. If you go to the Facebook page, Horses in the Morning, I am going to become the new foster home for this lovely thoroughbred, wait for it, mare. It's a mare.
Ah!
And she's coming to my house. I know, a chestnut thoroughbred mare, but you guys look at her picture. She is just pretty as can be, and I've actually gone down there several times and seen her. Why she hasn't been adopted, I don't know, but she is so sweet, and I just remember going to her stall, and she's one of those, like, horses that make you feel like a little girl. You're like, oh, my God, she's so pretty, and she's so sweet. I love her so much. I don't know what happens to me. I get this squeaky voice when I'm around her, and I start petting her on the nose. I kissed her on the nose. Like, I was giving her treats. She's very, very sweet, and the fact that she was still sitting there and summer's coming, I couldn't do it. So she's going to arrive at 8 a.m. this morning at my house.
So this is did I hear the word foster, which foster usually is, if you look it up in the dictionary, it says temporary home till they find a permanent home. But fostering for us horse people and dog people means temporary home until it becomes our permanent home. Which one is that, Jamie? Which one are you?
Listen, Glenn, my husband is currently in the northernmost point of Alaska right now, and I don't need to get divorced from that far away. So let's stick with the foster.
Well, at least you know he's not listening to the show this morning.
Exactly. He's not, which is great because it's like 5:11 there and he's not getting up or something like that. So,
I just saw the picture. How cute. But you've got to bring it up. You've got a thoroughbred. You've got a mare, which is, you know, you don't have any other mares on the farm. And you've got a chestnut. And we all know what they say about thoroughbred chestnut mares.
They're the best. Is that what they say,
yes,
Glenn?
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what they say.
Look how pretty she is, though. And she's so sweet. I just can't stand it. And she's awesome. Okay, so, like, she's coming in at 8 a.m. And so I had to call Chad, and I'm like, you know, do you remember that horse that we saw? He's like, oh, yeah, that really sweet. You know, it's a mare. It's a mare. What are you going to do with a mare? What are you going to do with a mare? I'm like, honey, recently one of my neighbors has asked me to start grazing my horses in her pasture so she doesn't have to mow and she's got a green grassy field and no animals. So it's like I got a free piece of land. It's like free acreage. See, it's all coming together. It all makes sense.
You know how many times we've heard this story from horse girls who outgrow their barn and have to move into the neighbor's property?
Does that happen, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm that girl.
Every one of them.
I am definitely that girl.
We were over at Reese's, and, you know, Reese was, like, outgrowing. She had too many horses and had to go into the neighbor's property. So, yeah, this is very common. It's a horse girl thing.
Mm. Yeah, I guess so. But she asked me. I didn't ask her.
Is she trained? Tell us, is this horse trained? Why did it end up in the sheriff's department? What kind of crime did it commit?
She was a terrible crime. No, she was actually in a boarding facility. There was a lady that owned a whole bunch of thoroughbreds, but also ran a boarding facility. And it was a big, big case here in Arizona. The chick who ran the boarding facility left. She left. And I don't understand, like, did the boarders not come out? But, like, they found horses emaciated in their stalls and in their pastures. And this was one of the horses that they confiscated. And she looks great now. I mean, obviously, you know, you're going to have mental issues with food. Are Joey and Jet's problems. I mean, they definitely have that problem, and Edward, too, to some extent. So another food-aggressive horse on my property. What are you going to do? Oh, well. So she's 8 years old. I can't wait to look at her tattoo and find out her name. She doesn't even have a name. She's just a chestnut mare. She's like B432. Is her name on all the paperwork. And so she's 8 years old. She did race. So that's pretty much all we know. But being that she was at a boarding facility, but also owned by a woman who bred a lot of horses, I don't know if she's had foals. I know nothing about her training, although all I know is, like, 5 years ago she raced. So chestnut, mare, unknown history. What could go wrong, Glenn?
Yeah, nothing. That's perfect combination. You're going to be golden.
You know, the good news is I know Chad's out of town, and it's like, when am I going to have time? My mom gets here tomorrow, and she is going to be doing some serious in-the-house babysitting because I'm going to be playing with this filly nonstop. I can't wait.
I can't believe you got a mare. That's good. Congratulations for opening your mind and branching out into a new world.
Thanks. I just couldn't see her. She's just too pretty to be sitting on there in the summertime when it's hot and just big and then just no love. And, you know, I mean, they get taken care of, mind you. They get the best of vet care and the best of feed. And for the ones that need that, it's perfect for them. But then you've got these guys that are ready to go. And then they have to sit there still. And their brains and their bodies. Yeah, their brains, their bodies get active and there's no release for them. So to see a beautiful mare like this with such potential to be standing there in a stall in the desert, you know, it's too much. So I had to take her.
You never know. This could end up being your Rolex horse. You never know.
Here we go. How many times have I said that? Jeez.
Yeah, right. Well, no, I'm not going to congratulate you because it's just a foster.
It's a foster.
Well, I should say good job, Jamie, for stepping up and helping foster an animal before they head off until they're to their permanent home.
Thank you. And at least, you know, we'll have some more information. I'll get to play with her. And if having a mare doesn't work, because I do have a couple geldings that are a little bit crazy around mares. Jet is not one of them. Jet hates everybody equally, so actually I can turn them out together. Jet just hates all horses. But if it management-wise doesn't work, obviously I'll be looking for a home, but then we'll have at least a little more knowledge about what she knows, and I can teach her some stuff and get her feet picked up and get her a saddle on her. Maybe, who knows? We'll see. But hopefully it works as a foster.
Very good. All right. Well, keep us informed. Let us know a name when she finally develops a personality. We'll see what you come up with. It could be like our cat. She could be named the Beast.
Yes, but she's so pretty. I can't name a horse like Princess or something. I just can't do it. But she looks like a little princess. Look at that. See that? My voice. Something happens to my voice when I start talking about her. I can't take it. I don't know what's wrong with me.
You have a child. That's what's wrong with you.
I think this
you're used
predated
to that voice
the child.
Now.
It predated the child.
Well, a couple news stories for you today. Test results are in on the Derby and Oaks horses. They're all clean. All the races, all the horses are clean. So there is no controversy that way as far as the Derby is concerned. And it looks like we're going to be having the potential for a Triple Crown because, you know who is heading off to Maryland here. And in Maryland, actually, at what race was that, Jamie? I'm just curious.
Glenn, seriously. All 1,500 substances were tested for, and all horses were clear.
No, the next race.
California Chrome is heading to the Preakness next, and it's going to be great.
Pegasus, Lord of the Infield Best.
Third Saturday in May.
2 weeks.
That's when the Preakness comes to Pimlico.
And then all horses will move to the Belmont, where California Chrome will win again. And I need to
have
some sort of California Chrome sound of California Chrome. I don't know. I'll just sing every time.
But anyway, the Preakness now has changed their rules this year, and they're making all the horses come in 2 days before the race. And they're putting the protocols in place that the Belmont had last year, which means you have to get your horses in 2 days before the race. Your personal veterinarian cannot see them up to 24 hours before the race. Only veterinarian. And they're being very particular. Of course, drugs and all that stuff has to be registered, and they're locking down the barns and then all kinds of stuff. So, they're getting a little stricter here in the state of Maryland, the state of Maryland and the track have come together and made put the restrictions on. So
well,
that's,
good. They need to. I guess too, they're trying to protect the horses from, you know, they just want the horses to be more secure and also to deter the medications. I don't know if they have. I mean, I know the Preakness is like a party zone, but it seems like they're doing it for the horses' security as well.
Yeah, it is. The Preakness. I've been to the
bad neighborhood.
Yeah, it is. It's not a great neighborhood, and it's right in the middle of the city, pretty much. And it's an odd track. It's completely surrounded. You know how Churchill Downs is. It's surrounded by houses. Well, that's the same way that the Preakness is. You do not go through the best part of Baltimore getting there. It's kind of an interesting track, and it, you know, I always thought of it as kind of a rundown track, you know, on the backside. But then a lot of tracks are rundown when they get to the backside. But you know, I can see why security would have to be increased at this particular track. So,
really?
You know, a lot of tracks are that way, though. You have the beautiful ones like Keeneland and, you know, a couple of the ones in California and stuff. But a lot of tracks are in the – what happened is they were built, you know, 75, 80, 100 years ago, and the city grew up around them, and they're, you know, not necessarily in the best parts of town. That's what's happened to a lot of the tracks. Yeah.
You mean you can't be a degenerate gambler in the high fashion areas of the cities?
Apparently not.
Why? I don't get it.
Hey, another news story that's very exciting is that the Connecticut Senate approved unanimously this morning legislation aimed at saving Connecticut horse owners from having their horses declared as dangerous wild beasts. And the governor has said that he will sign it. And, of course, we all know why. We've talked about the case that went through the Supreme Court there in Connecticut and that basically called horses vicious animals. But the legislation says that the presumption that ponies, donkeys, mules, and horses are not dangerous can be refuted case by case based on past behavior and injuries that may have resulted. The legislation will also prevent state courts from holding horse owners strictly liable for any damages, decreasing their exposure to court-ordered civil damages. The High Court, it should help protect the horses there in Connecticut and the horse owners. And, you know, the case-by-case basis is what it should be anyway. I mean, if you have a horse that's bitten 25 people, just like a dog, I kind of think that then, if you have a horse that should be declared dangerous.
Now, Glenn,
but congratulations.
I have a question.
Yeah, yep.
On this case-by-case thing, is it the same if one horse bites 25 people or one horse bites the same person 25 times? Does the court see that the same way?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Because if it's the same, then your pony is vicious.
My pony keeps biting Jennifer. It's not a bite with my pony. It's more of a love nibble. My pony loves that bite.
That's like somebody saying their kid's not fat. Okay, Glenn, you have sold out.
I have a vicious beast of a pony.
It's a love nibble. I'm bleeding. Yeah.
On to the next story. Purina pledges up to $150,000 again in free feed to help horses. They did this last year, and they're donating the free feed to rescue shelters through its continuing partnership with the Home for Every Horse. And it's dedicated for finding homes for horses in need. They had 500 different charities apply last year. They don't approve everybody. But they take a close look. You have to be a corporation, a nonprofit corporation. You have to be legitimate. And then they will help provide feed for those horses depending on need and that kind of thing. So congratulations to Purina for stepping up.
That makes me happy to be a Purina customer because they do stuff like that, and it's awesome. Although I still did not win the free ton of feed that I signed up for at Rolex. They haven't called yet any day.
Yeah, I haven't won anything that I signed up for at Rolex either, by the way.
Yeah, but I get lots of emails now. Hey,
Purina will donate up. Purina, one of the things, Junior will donate a dollar up to an additional $25,000 when fans share through HelpFeedRescueHorses.com and some of their campaigns on Facebook. So like Purina on Facebook, and you have the opportunity to help out as well.
Hey, do you remember the horse that was scratched out of the Derby, Hopportunity?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Hopportunity is sadly going to be off the Triple Crown Trail. You know, they said that he had some bruising in the sole, I think, in the left front. But when they x-rayed it, they also found a bone spur. So they decided to go ahead. He's at Rude and Riddle right now, and they're going to go ahead and take that sucker out, and he will be back eventually, but it's going to go ahead and take him off all of the Triple Crown races. They said it's small, but they said as long as we were going to stop on him, they went ahead and took it out.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I'm sure we're going to hear this week. We should start hearing who's in and who's out, right? For that race in Maryland.
Yeah. And I want you to do this next story about the girl that got the pony.
Oh, Jennifer, I have a new challenge for you. Seeing you have failed miserably at getting Carrie Underwood on the show, I have a new one for you. So, and I'm sure this one's going to be much easier. Wouldn't you say, Jamie? This one will be easier to get on the show?
She's barely famous. It would be no problem. No,
nobody knows her. She's like a B, C, D celebrity. So you'll be fine, Jennifer. You got to get Miranda Lambert on because she posted a picture of her new horse. And so, you know, she posted a picture of her new horse. She's a real horse lover. And she apparently got, I love how the article says, the couple are now proud parents of a beautiful blonde pony named
Willow
Brand.
Let me stop you real quick. The blonde was funny. Obviously not a horse person wrote that. But do you know what happens when you do stories about singers? Hey, white liar, should come down a little at a time. Hey,
can you please get Miranda Lambert on, Jennifer, so we don't have to listen to this?
The house that built it, and the house that built.
And then she showed up at the Kentucky Derby. She always goes to the Kentucky Derby. She was looking all sexy. But I saw a picture of her on her Facebook page. You're going to love this. It was a picture of her and her friend. They had just gone to the local tack shop and got completely kitted out in show wear, from the helmet to the coat to the breeches. So there's a picture of Miranda Lambert going tack shopping at the local tack shop. Now, wouldn't that be cool? You're the local tack shop owner like Jennifer and I were, and Miranda Lambert comes in the shop. That's kind of cool.
You know what I say to that? I say, everybody that's famous in a small town. See, I mean, come on. How can you not sing along? I sound just like her.
I can't believe that you actually sang on stage with that poor nice girl who put up
I'm amazing, Glenn. You just watch your mouth.
Stick to the instrument. You're good at singing. I have to dig that out again sometime. You playing on the show.
Brokenness inside me must start healing. Out here.
And then...
A
retired racehorse trainer is a $2 million lottery winner out of West Virginia. He's a retired racehorse trainer and by the name of Angel Gonzalez, of Ranson, West Virginia. He has been playing the lottery for a long time. Well, he won a $2 million on the Powerball on last Saturday's drawing, and it took him about 3 minutes to show up at the lottery headquarters to get his prize.
Really? He just happened to be next door at the track, see?
Yeah, exactly. He said the money will be used to take care of his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And anytime you say retired horse trainer, you know there was not a 401k or any kind of retirement plan involved in his life. So he could probably
use it. And he's
going to
need all $2 million of it with the number of kids he's got. Wow!
Hold on. See, me thinks that he thinks $2 million is a lot more than it actually is. This dude has 13 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. I can't see $2 million going far unless they all live in the same house, they drive the same car, you know, like that. But just groceries alone for that many kids.
Yes, that's a lot of kids and grandkids and great-grandkids.
And great-grandkids.
But, yeah. He actually plays the lottery. I read about him. He plays the lottery every week religiously and has won other amounts, not quite $2 million. I think he won $500,000 before. So this guy is a serious player. He didn't do very well from what I saw as a horse trainer, but apparently playing the lottery is his gig. Maybe we should take that up, Janie. We don't, you know, we're not making any money doing this horse thing. We really should play the lottery more often. I got to get to do it.
It's just so bizarre when I saw this story this morning because it reminded me that I actually did have a dream that I won $500,000 in the lottery. And like a scratch-off ticket. And I've never once in my life bought a scratch-off ticket. And then you do this story. So it's like telling me I need to go get some scratch-off tickets. I need to play.
Need to play. Deja vu. It's time to go. Chop, chop.
Is that here? Huh.
Huh, yeah. Did you know, I saw this on some TV special about lotteries one time. On the scratch-off tickets, did you know that even though every single available prize for a given scratch-off game has been awarded, they will continue to sell tickets?
say, well, jerks.
Sure.
So, like, if it was on the first ticket sold, and they know where it is, and there's the first ticket sold, they'll still sell the rest of the roll.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you can buy that lot of that scratch-off game for 18 months, hoping to win the $50,000 pot of gold little scratch-off thingy, when, in fact, it was won 3 months ago. I thought that
was just
awesome.
Is there a way to find out if it's been won already?
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can find out. Each state has a place where you can find out what prizes have been awarded under which games. I don't know how to do it, but they do publish that, but obviously they don't make any effort to make it easy to find.
You know what? That's too much work for me. I'll just not play.
Buy a ticket.
I'll just
and
send
your
a buck
state
to buy
is counting
ticket.
On that.
Exactly.
Hey, I got an update here from one of our Robin, who's coming on today to play in our game, says one of these days Chad's going to learn not to leave Jamie home alone. Next time he goes to Alaska, get an indoor arena. So there you go.
Oh, man.
See, she thinks you have your sights too low, I think.
Wait, who was this? Who was this?
Robin.
Robin, God love you. Oh, I love it.
She's looking out for you, Jamie. She's looking out for you.
She
hey,
is.
We are going to take our break, and we're going to be back with Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV with the European Report that we do here every Wednesday. But first, we have to hear from Back on Track Products. We'll be right back. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com. If you aren't following Back on Track Products on Facebook, you should be. Just search for Back on Track Products on Facebook, and you will find them there.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
That's right. It's time for us to speak to Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV like we do every week. Good morning, Victoria. Good afternoon.
Good morning. How are you?
Kay, are you over at badminton?
I'm going down there first thing tomorrow for the start of dressage.
And did I see that the weather at badminton is going to be a little iffy this week?
Well, the forecast isn't looking great, so I'm going to have to pack everything from sun cream to a big anorak, so usual kind of equestrian events over here.
And, you know, we talked about badminton earlier in the week and about how, you know, how cool it's one of the things that's on my bucket list to see. You've been to all the, this is a four-star event, you've been to a lot of the four-star events. As far as the atmosphere and the place itself, how would you rate badminton? Is it one of the top ones that you love to go to?
Yeah, I mean, it's one that I dreamed of going to ever since I was tiny, and, you know, I'm lucky enough in the last few years I've got to go there for working reasons, and it is an incredible event. You know, we're looking at about 140,000 people through the gates over the
Whoa.
Next few days, 100,000 alone on Cross Country Day. You know, that's bigger than any stadium, any football match over here. It's a huge day and a huge event, but it's such a a kind of insiders club. You know, everybody there is very horsey and knows everything about eventing. So I guess it's just 100,000 of the most horsey people you could ever imagine. And so the atmosphere is just always brilliant.
And to give people a reference, Rolex this year, our big event here in the United States on Cross Country Day, had 36,000 people. So you're tripling that.
Yeah, it's huge. And also remember, of course, that Badminton is a country estate. It's a beautiful, stately home. And there's not exactly motorways leading right up to the doorstep. So prepare for traffic chaos as 100,000 cars descend on Gloucestershire.
And anybody that's been to England knows about those lovely, I would say, 1.5-lane twisty, windy roads.
Indeed, we're famous for them, and there's lots around Badminton. And you might also bump into a horse box, so makes it even worse.
Now, do you park in the fields there and they bus you in, or what do you do?
You park in the fields, but you're literally right on the edge, so there's loads and loads of parking, as long as you can remember where your car is. We're usually all right in the press tent because we get to park really close, and also we tend to be the first ones there and the last ones to leave at night, so we can find our cars.
Now, badminton is also known for something else that, and the other reason that 100,000 people are there is the shopping. Now, have you been saving your pennies?
Well, last year I was desperate to go shopping at Badminton. I had a whole list of stuff I needed, and I didn't once get to go to the shops. I was so busy kind of doing, we try and give like live tweeting and follow the action for the people who can't watch live on TV. And we're basically there working so hard, getting videos and doing everything, and I didn't get to see any shops. I did hear a story that made me laugh this week, which was apparently somebody was saying to their non-horsey daughter that they were off to Badminton, and did they want her to have anything brought back from the shops? And she said, "I'd quite like one of those rackets." So I think there's a bit of confusion there about Badminton, the sport versus Badminton horse shows.
Took me a minute. That's funny. Well, I'll tell you what, right now you guys are riding high there in the UK and with your riders. You're just going into, you all have to be feeling pretty good going into the WEG this year. You're pretty much on top in dressage, on top in jumping, and on top in eventing. You just have it all put together this year.
It is. It's quite incredible because with William Fox, Charlotte Dujardin, and Scott Brash, we have the world number ones in the three Olympic sports, and it's the first time a country has ever done this. And I read that, and I was quite surprised because I was thinking, you know, surely in the days when Germany dominated dressage and they've always been so good at show jumping, but actually it's only been in the last in recent years that they've really come to the fore in eventing as well. So there's never been that overlap, whereas suddenly Britain has gone from being also runs and dressage to the main contenders, and we're riding high. So it is a very nice feeling, but having won Olympic gold and then European gold in both show jumping and dressage, it's kind of the only way is down from here. So I don't know how long before the bubble can burst, but I'm hopeful that Charlotte Dujardin will win it again for dressage, and at least that's pretty certain. There's less stuff that can go wrong in dressage.
Well, I did take a look.
Yeah, she's like a perfect human. Not only is she, you know, an amazing rider, she's like, I really think that she could be our friend, you know, Victoria. Tell everybody what she just did.
She has just rehomed an unwanted yearling. She saw it and decided it was lovely, and so she's taken it home to live with her dressage horses.
Oh, my God. She got a rescue. It's like she got a mash horse, too. Look, like Charlotte and I are just alike, Glenn. We're just alike.
With the exception of the sponsors and support.
You guys are laughing a little too hard at that, okay? That kind of hurts my feelings.
You do have an article on Horse and Country TV about Charlotte rehoming the foal. And another thing you had on there talking about her going into the WEG this year is she, you know, as she set a bunch of world records with her freestyle anyway, and now she's mixed up her music and did a whole new set. And you had a video of that. And wow, there's a reason that she's winning everything.
She is an incredible rider, and that is just a phenomenal horse. You know, he's the most laid-back horse. He's lovely in the stable. He's just obsessed with food. He just wants you to give him his bucket, and then he kind of loses interest. He's just so laid-back. You know, he comes in with that amazing power and expression, and yet you could just drop the reins on him, and he wouldn't do anything. He's just, they're the perfect combination, and we're so lucky to have them.
Yeah, you are. You have it all going for you this year. But you know what? As you said, it's taken 20, 30 years to get to this point. So
exactly.
That's how long it takes to build a program and to go through the juniors and all of that stuff and to get them all to the point where they are now. So
well,
congratulations on that.
You know, it's just a short time before Charlotte and William, they all retire and, you know, they all have to start over again. Oh, wait, no, they're both at the top of their game with, like, the most amazing string of horses ever. And Charlotte has just said that, and she named the little mini, the little foal that she rescued, she named him Santa. And so she actually said in the article that Santa's going to be a companion for her horses in the field, and who knows, maybe he'll be an Olympic champion too. Well, he probably will with her. My God, he could be a Fellwell pony, and she's going to take him to the Olympics. Ridiculous.
Indeed. I wouldn't be surprised if that would be her next Grand Prix horse. She seems to have the magic touch.
Yeah,
and you know
really.
What I figure, Jamie, is when William Fox Pitt is about done and washed up, Victoria is going to be there right waiting in the wings.
She will.
That is a very nice thought, but until I can jump 90 centimeters without turning white and panicking, then I think it's like
I'm with you, girl.
Tell us about the rescue cob that you guys have on Horse and Country TV.
Well, we're having a bit of a run of stories at the moment about horses coming indoors. We've had a few pictures of the day with various horses and houses, and this is a new one that we've been sent, but it's a really sweet story. A lady got in touch to tell us about a rescue foal that she got, and he'd been neglected, and he was very kind of nervous. And so she ended up, you know, bringing him up, and he was part of the family. And now this lady's son, who's in a wheelchair and has severe epilepsy, he can't go outside to visit the horse, so they've decided to bring him in. And this little cob, who used to be so wild, comes into the bedroom and brings all this comfort to this guy who's bedbound. And he just doesn't do anything wrong. So it's very sweet.
Have you guys ever brought a horse in the house?
I don't think I have. No, don't think my mum would have been too impressed.
Why got to be a young person when you bring a horse in the house? Why you got to be a kid?
Jennifer, actually, I was sick with pneumonia. I was really sick. I was completely gone. I had really bad pneumonia. I couldn't get off the couch and hadn't been outside for probably 2 weeks. And I had I had Piper the pony back then, my driving pony, and she actually brought Piper into the house to see me.
Aww.
So,
aww.
Yep, so we have done the in-the-house with the pony thing, yeah.
He tried to come in over the weekend. He tried.
Yeah. He almost climbed up the steps and into the front door with me the other day. Well, now, you also have a blog of the week.
Yes, indeed. So if you check out our latest blogs on the horseandcountry.tv website, we've got a new update from a scurry driver. And I don't know if you guys have scurry driving over there, but here is when you tend to have quite small ponies and they gallop around a course at top speed and they have to weave in and out of cones and go through pairs of cones with gates and not knock any over. And it's one of the most exciting driving sports to watch. But Chris, who's our blogger, was competing at Horse of the Year show in October, and her carriage actually flipped over and she was really badly injured, and she had to drive everywhere on a little kind of motorized bicycle all winter. She damaged her hip so much, but she's back to full fitness and she's out and about with her ponies, so it's a nice blog. After her crash, it's nice to know that she's back on her wheels and off she goes.
And she has the cutest little white ponies. They are so cute.
And I love Kaskari driving because they always have these pairs of ponies with funny names. So hers are called Touch and Go and Rough and Tumble. and hers have other ones called like Tweet and Twitter and Bill and Ben. And they always have like pairs of names. So that old adage about not changing a horse's name for it being unlucky, I'm pretty sure the Scurry drivers don't pay any attention to that.
You know, if I got another little Hackney pony, I could do Scurry driving, Jennifer.
And you could bring them both into the house at once.
There we go.
There we go.
Great idea. Genius. Thank you very much, Victoria. Yeah.
You know,
Victoria's
you know,
last appearance
Chad,
on the show.
Maybe when Chad complains about you getting another horse, you can just say, well, at least I don't bring him in the house. So
that's
you have
true.
That.
No, yeah. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Depends on how much I love this mare.
Victoria, we are thinking about you. I am very, very jealous that you're going to be out at badminton all weekend. I wish I'd be there, except for the rain part. But otherwise, I wish I'd be part of the 100,000 people just to see that. One of these days, that's going to happen.
You definitely have to. The same year that I come over for Rolette, Kentucky, and the Kentucky Derby, then I think the same year you have to come over to badminton.
All right, that's
it.
A deal. Can you get me a press pass under Horse and Country TV, you think?
I'm sure if you say you're coming from Horses in the Morning, they'll be giving you a prime position in the press room.
They won't even let us in if we say that. What are you talking
yeah,
about?
Thank you, Victoria.
My pleasure.
That's horseandcountry.tv. I do look forward to chatting with her every week. She's so bubbly and fun. Well, let's take a break for our song right now. We got more show coming back. And, of course, we have the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge today. Going to be coming up here in just a minute. But
do you
first,
want me
we
to
have to
sing
hear from...
a Do you want me to sing a Miranda Lambert song for the song today? Because I will.
And I just put Jamie on mute so I could play a Jared Rogerson song called Addicted.
Been on a bull, I guess you finally got it licked. Then his eyes went wild and he started to shake. Said it hits him every spring. I said, thanks, Deb, you're not helping me any. Now I got a Hakadime ring. Addicted to driving down the road, riding bronc and having fun. Addicted, well, I really thought that I could quit it anytime I want. Now I'm sitting here jonesing for a rodeo, might as well be liquor or drugs. Well, I could blow all my money and break all my phones and I would never get enough. Well, I blew all my money, and that ain't fun, cause I just can't give it up.
Well, that was Jared Rogerson with a song called Addicted. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com or on iTunes. Just search for Jared Rogerson. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with the muted Jamie Jennings and also Coach Jen in the producer chair, and we are brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Uh-oh, I think she unmuted herself.
Thank you very much. I was more than happy to sing a Miranda Lambert song, and then I hear this, you have been muted in my headphones.
I'm trying to save the audience that we have left that haven't, that didn't stop listening when you were singing the last time. I was really trying to keep some of them through the end of the show.
That Miranda Lambert song about the house that built me and Horse Chicks Unite, because we all have dogs. And there's a part in that song where she talks about how it's her favorite, you know, it's the house she grew up in, and she goes back to visit it because she needs to kind of find her center and her balance. And she talks about how her favorite dog is buried in the backyard. Oh, I cried the first 20 times I heard that, because I have that house I grew up into and my favorite dog is buried in the backyard. It just reminded me exactly of the whole situation. So I would be more than happy to perform that song live
That's okay. I think we can pass on that. Jennifer is going to be working on getting her on the show. So I'm sure by next week we're going to have an interview with Miranda Lambert. Because, you know, that's going to be so much easier than Carrie Underwood. Hey, tomorrow for the first time, we have a new episode every month beginning or highlighting the mountain horse and the natural gated breeds. The good people at the United Mountain Horse Association are going to be joining us once a month to talk about gated breeds. And, of course, we're talking about the natural gated breeds, you know, that are compliant with FOSH. And it's going to be hosted by UK student Jackie Clark, who I've spoken to now a couple of times. She's absolutely delightful and knows about everything there is to know about the mountain horse and the gated breeds. So it's completely different tomorrow. We're all going to learn a little something, because I don't know much about them either. And they're becoming very popular right now. They're kind of a thing. So we're going to hear from them on tomorrow morning show at 9 a.m. I got to find something else to talk about to keep Jamie from singing. So let me see.
Break here? Because I'd be happy
to
start.
There's another article I found this morning about this guy. His name is Roger Howell. Roger grew up in Tennessee. He's the chief of police of Erin, Tennessee. And he retired from being chief of police. And he decided, and by the way, Erin, over his lifetime, has had 43 foster children that he helped to raise. So, you know, and it sort of reminded me of you, because you've had 43 unsuccessful foster horses that you have ended up adopting.
It's true, but when you said that, it reminded me of Monty Roberts, who I think has had like 53 foster children. I mean, what a heart.
Right. Yep, that's true. Well, he decided, he was told his heart's failing and his health wasn't very good, and he was told by the doctors that he only had probably 6 months to live, a couple months to live. And he decided, well, if that's the case, he's a horse guy, and he decided if that's the case, then I'm going to go visit all my foster children. And they're scattered all over the country. Well, he decided that instead of taking a car, which sounded like too ordinary, and he wouldn't get to meet enough people in his last days, he got a couple of Percheron horses. He got himself a converted Amish buggy. And a wagon that he has behind that, and he set off from Tennessee. He's been over 2,500 miles now. He's visited relatives in Michigan, and now he's heading back south to head back to Tampa. He was one of the Vietnam vets that was exposed to Agent Orange, so he has these problems that have resulted over the period of time. But get this. So his doctor said, you have 5 to 6 weeks to live, you know, just go sit in the front porch. He said, I'm not going to sit in the front porch rocking away the rest of my life. I'm going to do this adventure. He has now been 27 weeks. So he's still going, and he's heading back to Tampa. He says it's going to take him 5 to 6 weeks to get to Tampa. And his two horses, he says, I drive for, he says his one horse tells him when he's done, he starts throwing his head, and he knows that the horse is done that day. So he quits that day. He says he's met tons of cool people along the way. And he said, I wouldn't have met all these neat people. I wouldn't have done the things I've done without doing this adventure. So here's a guy that instead of sitting around and just waiting to die, decided to, you know, make one last stand. He travels 25 to 35 miles per day in hilly country, and he can make up to 50 miles a day in flat ground. This is what he's been through so far. He went through a blizzard in Indiana, an ice storm in Ohio, and a tornado in Indiana. He crossed the Ohio River on Christmas Day on a ferry boat in a flood, and a couple of other adventures along the way, too. But he stops every Sunday to go to church wherever he is. You know, he said, our country is a terrific place. As a police chief, I had a dim view of society. I worked with town drunks and the city council. I love how he put those two together.
On purpose, I'm sure.
Yes. And he said it's changed his whole outlook on life, meeting the people that he has along the way. Now, he said he's met thousands of good people and six that he could do without. So I don't know what happened there.
And those six know who they are, too. You bet they
do.
Yes,
exactly.
That's awesome.
How cool is that?
Well, another cool story. There is a girl. Her name is Grace Bush. And she just received her college degree. She attended Florida Atlantic University and also Broward College, and she received her degree. She's 16, and later this week, she's going to be receiving her high school diploma. 16 years old, and did high school and college simultaneously. I mean, talk about a big brain on this girl. She graduated from college before she finished high school. How freaking cool is that? Her mom said she started reading at the age of 2. I've really got to get Lucas to start focusing on
some. You got to get baby Luke going.
You know, they always say, like, all the mother things are like, read your baby, read to your baby, read to your baby. So, you know, as you guys know, he doesn't like to sit still very long, so I'll put him in my lap. And I'll open the book right in front of him. And, you know, like, good night, moon. I'm like, good night, moon. And I go to turn the page, and he grabs the page and he rips it. That's, like, his idea of reading. And puts it in his mouth. Like, I'm a little concerned about his future education. But we got some work to do, for sure. He's going to be a year at the end of this month. He better start reading soon. At least stop eating the books. We all have goals.
You know, you got to take it. You got to take a look at that video. I think, you know, if he's not into reading and into, you know, the higher education thing, I think the video with the draft horses that I posted on Horses in the Morning is his future calling.
Oh, my God, calling. I saw it. Oh, I saw it. That is so cute.
Didn't this surprise you?
Yes, it looks like these two Belgians are just, they're both in harness, and they're walking towards the camera, and it looks like they're by themselves. And then what you see at the end of it is so cute. Oh, my gosh. It's adorable.
And he doesn't look too much older than baby Luke, let me tell you. He's definitely not that old, for sure. I think we've killed enough time now that we can keep Jamie from singing anymore, and we can do this.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
All And, of course, this segment is brought to you by EquityMFG.com, and that is the manure forks that we all here at the Horse Radio Network absolutely love. Jamie and I use, and Jennifer, we all use our Equity manure forks every single day. You know, they are pretty much indestructible. He hates when we say that, but we've been using ours for 2 years now, Jamie?
Yeah.
Or more?
Over 2 years, and I use that sucker every day.
And any of the cheap manure forks that we would have bought for, you know, $30 at the TSC store would have broken 12 times by now. You know, especially with the things. I mean, I had my pony step on the tines the other day. I'd set the fork down. Of course, he comes over to see what's going on and goes, smash. Why do they always want to step on the tines of the manure fork? It seems to be where they go first. But these things are tough, and I'll tell you what, the one I really do like is the shaken fork. A lot of our listeners now have invested in a shaken fork. It's a little more expensive than your average fork, but it does all the work for you. You press a trigger, the head shakes. It really does help you save about half your bedding. You'll use half less bedding, and it'll take you about half the time to clean the stalls. Check out the if you clean less than three stalls a day, I say check out the Flexin' Fork at EquityMFG.com. If you clean more than three stalls a day, invest in the Shaken Fork. And I've had that one for 2 years, too, and I haven't had any problems with it whatsoever. So if you want a fork that's going to last, and they're going to be ones, once you use these, you never go back. You'll never go back. You'll never use another fork again. EquityMFG.com. I am so excited to have with us the ex-coachman to the Queen and Prince Philip for many, many years. He's one of the world-renowned coachmen of the past 40 years. And he's a friend of ours here at the Horse Radio Network, and we absolutely love hanging out with him. David Saunders, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Terrific. You're going to class the place up because we need some class here at the show. So thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, I've heard that actually about you, but I didn't like to say it.
And David's leaving us now. Thank you for joining us, David.
Okay.
David, I posted a video of you up there this morning to give everybody an idea of what coachmen do, and this was a video that was done at Winterthur's Point to Point. Wasn't that last weekend or last week?
Yes, last weekend, yes. At Frolic Weymouth, who hosts the event, there was probably three dozen of us that drove to the Winterthur Point to Point, but we had a bit of bad luck because the river overflowed, the Brandywine River overflowed, and we kind of got flooded several times. So it was a bit of an effort to actually get there, but it actually all worked out. We did it. You know us British, we always manage to get everything done.
Well, yeah, you're used to rain and flooding. So, David, it's amazing. One of the things that got this video has gotten so many comments on, and what the video is a bunch of four-in-hand coaches and three. You were driving the three. But, you know, ponies and horses and everything coming down the road, one of the cool things and gets the most comments when you post these videos is everybody loves the sound. There's nothing like the sound of a four-in-hand carriage coming at you.
Yes, it's interesting that the clip-clop of even a single horse, but when you get four horses together, it has a very soporific effect. It makes everyone kind of relax. And you're traveling at a speed that's conducive to enjoying the scenery. I remember all the years I worked for Prince Philip, we would drive all around the different estates, Balmoral, Sandringham, Windsor, wherever, and instead of being in a little air-conditioned or heated metal box, you were outside in the elements, and you felt when the horses were going uphill, downhill, and you smelt the smells, and so it made you a lot more back to nature. So driving does have that that interesting characteristic.
How many countries have you driven in? It has to be tons.
Oh, almost all of Europe, Central America, obviously North America, Canada, Australia. That's about it. I haven't been to South America. I haven't been to Asia driving, but there's still time. I'm still a young boy.
Yeah.
Now, David, I have another question for you. Was I the scariest person that you've ever had drive a four-in hand with you, which I did a month ago?
No.
Oh, good to hear that.
No. You weren't that bad. I was going to tell you a story, but I better not because it might embarrass somebody. But anyway, it was. No, you did very well because it's kind of one of those things that you. I often use the simile as treading water. You know, I can tell you what to do with your feet and what to do with your arms, but if you're actually sinking, you're not doing it enough. And I can't tell you how, when you're driving, it's like one of those things you have to do to experience it. And the problem is people write these books and make these videos and give these lectures, but like most things, there's nothing actually quite like doing it. And driving is particularly like that.
I really did enjoy it, and thank you for making me do it. I said no, and you made me do it, and it was truly a pleasure. And you're so patient. You're a very good teacher and coach. I have to say that. You're very good at that.
Darling.
You're going to be playing against another driver, and her name is Robin Donaghy. She's one of our listeners, and the people listening to the show today might recognize that name because we had Robin on a little while ago because she was driving in her neighborhood there in Texas, if I remember right, and the police pulled her over and said she wasn't allowed to do that. It was against the law, and she was trying to figure out if that was actually the case. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, tell us what you found out from the police.
They looked it up. I actually called the office of the police station, and they looked it up, and they said I was well within my rights of driving.
Yay.
There was another blurb in the code about being able to drive in parades and special events and, like, how the carriage was supposed to be marked. So he was suggesting that maybe that's how the officer was confused, because that's all he kept repeating to me was that I was only allowed to drive in special events or parades. But no, I can drive on the street.
Yes, good job. Yay, we were hoping that would be the outcome.
That's right,
Robin.
Jamie.
Stick it to the man.
Glenn, can I say something, Glenn?
Yeah.
Firstly, good morning, Robin. And,
good morning.
I live in Texas. Good morning. I lived in Texas for a little while. It's kind of like a little country unto itself, and I think it's wonderful that you confused a policeman, first of all, and secondly, I think it's wonderful that you confused a Texas policeman. So that's probably not very difficult, but it's interesting because most of your laws, well, our laws, I'm an American as well, but I'm British as well, so I can say this, came from the British, and of course, the rules of the road were that I think pigs had the first right of way, then cows, and then probably horses. But horses have always had the right of way. And unless it's kind of like you can always turn right on red unless it says you can't. And you can go on, I understood, any highway as long as it says that you can't. And as long as you have, you know, whatever, lights at night or a slow-moving triangle, and you obey the rules of the road. And the CAA, for instance, and the ADS both acknowledge that and teach people to stick to the rules of the road when you're driving horses on the public highway.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So it sounds like what you're saying is I need to get a pair of pigs and start teaching them to drive and drive the pigs.
Well, funnily enough, I've had a few horses that have been a bit piggish, so maybe you get a horse that acts like a pig. I don't know.
All right, guys, this is what you're playing for. David, do you have a charity that you're playing for? I forgot to ask.
Well, no. The only charity I like to play for is the Distressed Englishman Abroad. And we haven't quite registered that, but us four distressed coachmen living abroad really are in need of all your donations. So please send as much money as you can to David E. Saunders, and I'll give you the address later. Just look at my website. No, I'm just kidding. No, I haven't really thought about it, but I'll kind of leave that to your discretion if that's possible, Glenn.
What, Jamie? Do you want to do MASH?
Absolutely, MASH should be the place.
Okay, good. Just give everybody a reminder what that is.
MASH Horses, Robin. No pressure. That he's playing for my charity. What's up? MASH Horses is a nonprofit organization through the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department, where they take animals that have been starved, abused, neglected, where the owners have been arrested. They confiscate the animals and rehabilitate them and then go and adopt them out. So they've got dogs, horses, goats, pigs, cattle. I mean, they've got all the animals that you're going to teach to drive, Robin. So they're all there for a little bit of help. But this actually, a $25 gift certificate to Equestrian Collections would be great because they're in need of fly masks again.
All right, so since you're Robin. Playing for a $25 gift certificate for Equestrian Collections for the whole universe of equestrian shopping at your fingertips at a price you can afford. All right, Robin, you're a commercial carriage driver, and you're playing against one of the best-known coachmen in the world. So
no
that's your challenge here.
No pressure.
All right, how we do it. If you get you've got 5 seconds to answer the question that Jamie's going to give you. If you get the answer correct, you're going to hear the bell. If you get it incorrect, you're going to hear the high school basketball buzzer. So that's how we play. Jamie,
cool.
Take it away.
Good luck to both of you. You know, Robin, I know that you could use $25 to Equestrian Collections, too. So these questions are predetermined. They're written by Jennifer. And as I like to say, if you do not like the questions, send an email to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, and she'll take your complaints and probably just delete them. Here we go. Robin, I'm going to ask you a question. Then, David, I feel like I should call you Mr. Saunders. Should I call you Mr. Saunders?
No, please call me darling. Call me darling.
Okay. Okay. Oh, I love it. Okay. Robin, I'm going to ask you a question first, and then, darling, I'm coming to you next, and then we'll go back and forth. We do have a tiebreaker if we need. So, Robin, your first question is multiple choice. The Royal Mews, or stables, was initially located at Charing Cross. What monarch moved the mews in its entirety to Buckingham Palace location in the 1820s? Was it A, George IV, B, Henry VIII, or C, Elizabeth II?
Elizabeth II.
Darling, do you know the answer to that?
Probably George IV.
That is correct. It was George IV.
That's right. And Elizabeth's going to be really pissed that you've made her about 180 years old.
Hey, I wouldn't have known she was the second either. I'm with you, Robin. All right, darling, we're heading to you. Your question is also multiple choice. In what year was racing first held at Ascot? Was it A, 1610, 1711, or C, 1812?
B.
That's right.
Man, this guy knows his stuff. That is correct. It was 1711 that they held the first race at Ascot. Wow, that really is historical. That's pretty awesome. Robin, we're going to head back to you. True or false? According to the Cleveland Bay Horse Society of North America, a horse cannot be registered if he has a white star over 2 inches in width.
True.
That is just completely made
Poor
up
Robin.
By Jennifer. I'm so sorry, Robin.
Hey, that was Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com,
yes.
Right?
Yes, that's correct.
Correct.
Yeah, that's
right. All right, darling.
You need to put wine. You need to put whiner in the subject line. Yeah.
Okay, true or false, darling? The chuck wagon is the official vehicle of Texas.
False.
That's true? The chuck wagon is the official vehicle of Texas? Robin,
but
did you know that?
Don't drive it on the road near Robin's house or you'll get arrested.
Well, I think the confused policeman that stops Robin should be driving the bloody chuck wagon.
Kidding.
And making her dinner in the back of it. That's what I think.
Exactly, yeah.
Get back there and stir the pot. Come on. Okay, we're going to head to Robin. Robin, bless your heart. We got it. You got it. Let's see. It is currently 0-1. So you need to get this one to go to the tiebreaker. Here we go. Name the heavy covered wagon that was used during the westward expansion of the United States. It's also named after a river in Pennsylvania.
That's not multiple choice.
No. Again, just send her an email. You can complain.
You know this one, Robin. You do. The wagon that they all went with out west.
It begins with a C.
Yes.
Chuck wagon?
Yeah. Oh, but there was one along.
Oh, it's, how do you say that? I didn't know this one either. Robin, I would have been.
Conestoga wagon? You didn't know
Conestoga
wagon?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I didn't.
You guys go to school? You didn't learn that in school? History class?
I didn't go to school in Texas.
Me neither. Conestoga wagon is the answer. Now, I think we should test Darling and just see if he gets this next one right. Should we go for it?
Yeah, if he doesn't, then he really needs to hang up in shame.
Oh, no. He's too adorable for that. All right. Here we go. In combined driving, Darling, what does VSE stand for?
I know that one.
A very small equine.
Yes, that is correct.
Woo!
That is correct.
We have our winner. It is David Saunders, our celebrity, beats Robin Donaghy. Robin, you had ridiculously hard questions. I would definitely send a nasty email to Jennifer. Do you guys want to do the tiebreaker just for fun?
Yeah, let's do the tiebreaker.
Let's do it for fun.
Okay, so this is how this works, okay? I'm going to start reading clues. The title of this category for the tiebreaker is called Name the Breed. Name the Breed. And I'm going to read you clues. And as soon as you know the answer, you can just yell it out, okay?
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Norfolk Trotters and Thoroughbreds were crossed to found this breed.
Standardbred.
Prince of Wales is president of this breed's registry.
Hackneys.
Oh,
that's correct.
That guy shows up in DNA testing of American Mustangs, known for its naturally animated gates, or I would like to say hyperactive gates. Fewer than 300 females within the breed in the UK put it on the endangered breeds list, and Glenn now owns the scaled-down version. It is the Hackney horse. That is correct. Just proving, Darling, that you are smarter than the average human, okay?
Hey, I got to tell you, David, when I was watching that video of all the coaches going by, it was really cool. You saw the horses going by. You saw the ponies. And they're all calm, and they're all going along. And then it's true. I assume they were Hackneys. You see the Hackney ponies going by, and there's legs everywhere, and they're hyper. And completely different.
They belong to a lady that lives in Aiken, Jackie Ostrom, and she's a real Hackney pony fan. And the other thing I'd like to tell you, Glenn, is that three, you called them, we call that a unicorn because it's a pair with one in front. All these different combinations have kind of names and, you know, people like tandem, random, a four in hand, a long team, a pickaxe, a three abreast, you know, they're all kind of given names. But what we were driving was a unicorn. And we would have driven actually the four, but we'd driven 3 days before and there was lots of stones. And one of my horses had a bit of a stone bruise. So we just went to the B team, as it were, which was a unicorn. And that's the nice thing about driving. You can always kind of come up with some combination that you can still drive.
Very good. Well, David, we appreciate – first of all, thank you so much for allowing Wendy and I to come over and crash the party there last month. We had a great time with you and Gloria. David is going to be appearing very shortly. We're going to try and get that recorded this month, too, on our Equestrian Legends show. I can't wait for that. I can't, because you're the best at telling stories, and I can't wait to hear more of the stories from your life. So we're going to be doing that in Equestrian Legends here coming up very shortly. And, Robin, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, Robin, don't be ashamed or embarrassed. You got one over on the man. That is the most important thing that's happened.
Right.
Well, Robin, we know that you will keep listening and be back, and thank you so much for playing. And, again, MASH gets that $25 gift certificate, so we do appreciate that. And, darling, Glenn, I don't understand why you're not calling him darling. He clearly stated that that's what he wants to be called, so you better change your tone. And
he regretted that about 5 minutes ago.
No, I might just call everybody that today, because I just love it. And thank you so much for coming on and being such a part of the Horse Radio Network. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting me. And again, I'm looking forward to this next interview. And I hope everyone listens in, because I'll have quite a few stories, and I'll be mentioning people like Ronald Reagan, Nancy Reagan, Elizabeth Taylor, Cleopatra, the lovely Cleopatra. So please, I hope your listeners listen in, and because I've had a very interesting but baffling career. I'm still very confused about it all, but never mind. But it just keeps getting better, and I really appreciate working with Gloria, because Gloria Austin is, the Duchess of Driving, and you did a very good job of interviewing her the other day. That was a great job as well. And thank you all very much.
Thank you, David. So much.
Thank you, Robin.
Thanks.
When you say Elizabeth Taylor, all I think is Velvet Brown. Velvet Brown.
That's right. You would, actually. You've seen all those old horse movies.
I love them. 1944, babe. That was a good year, good decade for movies. It was awesome. Okay, I love him. And this might be one of the first times I ever, you know, listen repeatedly to a Horse Radio Network show, because I love his voice. I love his accent. It's awesome.
It is great. And he's a wonderful storyteller. We've had him on the show here before, and, you know, regular listeners. Robin knew exactly who he was because she listens to the show. So I am very excited to get that Equestrian Legends interview. I did the last Equestrian Legends that came out. If you haven't heard it, just go to equestrianlegends.com, or you can find it on our app, the iOS or Android app under Horse Radio Network. Take a listen to it, Gloria Austin. She truly is the grand dame of driving in the world, I would say. And she has one of the largest carriage collections that I've ever seen or in the world. And amazing, knows the history of horses and transportation. Just amazing, amazing interview. So take a listen to that, and you'll hear how she's kind of a self-made person. She started out on a dairy farm as a child and worked her way up in life, and you can hear all of that on equestrianlegends.com. And I'll let you know when the David Saunders one comes out as well.
Please do. Well, on cue, the baby has woken up. So I'm going to have to get going.
All right. That's it for today, everybody. Don't forget, we'll be back live tomorrow talking about something a little bit different that I don't know that we've ever talked about on any of our shows, and that's the Mountain Horse out of Kentucky. And it's going to be hosted by Jackie Clark. By the way, she has the prettiest Southern accent I've ever heard. I'm going to enjoy doing an hour and a half with her, because she has one of those slick Southern accents. And she said, is the Southern accent going to be a problem? I said, no, you're representing the Kentucky Mountain Horse. If you don't have a Southern accent, it's going to be wrong.
So, yeah, and you're not legitimate.
She said that you don't use yours anymore. And I said, well, occasionally she embarrasses everybody with it. So she does come out with it. Southern accent.
Girl, if I talked to her for 3 minutes, it would be so thick in there you couldn't even – you'd have to walk through the room with a miner's helmet to get through it.
So join us tomorrow morning for that, 9 a.m. Eastern here on Horses in the Morning. We'll be back Friday. Hey, we have a very special prize that we'll be announcing here on for Friday's Really Bad Ads. Jennifer's going to post it on Facebook, something from Outback Trading Company, a little different. So you're going to want to get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Go take care of the baby, Jamie.
All right, you guys, stay near geld. Wrong song.
Wait a minute. I should have played this one out.
Skagg and Sis, Lord of the Infield Best.
Okay.
Third Saturday in May. That's when the Preakness comes to Pembroke.
I'm out. Bye.
For the wilder walks of life, in the middle of it all, sets the infield fest. As legend goes, the leader of these crazy folk is a half-man, half-thoroughbred party manimal named Kegasus.
Half horse, half man, with beer in hand, he strolls the infield.